This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 28th, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. Young people use the internet in a wide variety of ways, and governments, both federal and state, are considering or implementing ways that would make it harder for young people to use the internet. Cato's Jennifer Huddleston believes that courts should affirm First Amendment rights for youths in our digital age. Her paper on the subject is out today. We spoke this week.
Jen, the notion of young people and their interactions with technology has been sort of front of my mind for a few years now as my children have awakened to the delights of digital devices and what can be done with them. And as a parent, I feel like it's my responsibility to make sure that their experience is appropriate, that it is not dangerous to them. So you make an argument that I think at first blush, a lot of people would sort of reject out of hand the notion that there is some sort of affirmative entitlement, a right that young people might ought to have with respect to the information that they have access to. Could you flesh that out?
So I think it's important to distinguish between what the government can do to a young person's rights and what a parent can do. As you mentioned, there are times when parents may want to say, I'm not ready for my child to get online. These are going to be different situations in different households. But if we look at existing court precedent, what we do find is that young people do have some degree of First Amendment rights that should be able to be protected from government intervention. And why this is really important is right now we're seeing more than just, you know, you as a parent, Caleb, deciding, hey, I don't want my child to have this device or to have this opportunity to go online yet. We're starting to see, particularly at a state level, a lot of interactions that would severely restrict particularly teenagers, 13 to 18-year-olds, ability to have access to information or to express themselves online.
As a practical matter, when states are engaged in this, what you're arguing about is the degree to which the state may intervene on behalf of young people. Is that right?
If we look at existing court precedent, there are two kind of really big cases that I think are relevant here. The first is one that many people who have followed the law may be familiar with. It's the Tinker case. It involves young people protesting in a expressive but nonviolent way during the Vietnam War. And it has the famous line that neither teachers nor students abandon their rights at the schoolhouse gate. So this kind of establishes the idea that there must be some amount of speech rights associated with young people. Another more recent case is a case generally known as Mahanoy, or more colloquially known as the Snapchat cheer case, where a young girl went on Snapchat, went on a rant about cheerleading and the selection process, and then was disciplined at school. And what the court actually found there was that outside of the school context, it was parents' rights, not the school's right, to determine what was and wasn't an appropriate amount of expression for that teenager. What I'm arguing is that in the context of this broader debate about young people online and these social media safety laws, that there's an opportunity for the court to kind of define where social media in general falls in between these two cases, and particularly outside of the school context. Because when we look at most of these cases, they've occurred in the school context, or they've been concerning the speech rights of adults. And even when we've seen the current laws challenged, we've seen them challenged on the grounds of the impact they could have on those over 18's speech rights, and not on these young people who would also see their speech rights impacted. I think oftentimes we assume kids are just online to, you know, have fun and stay in touch with their friends. But we've seen young people use the internet in really productive ways as well. So we have to consider what impact this may have on the expressive rights of young people and not just act like it's some silly little thing.
How do we make that real? You know, we're continuing to respect the rights of parents with respect to their own children, just not in the government either exerting some sort of punishment against young people for their otherwise protected behavior online or in person. How do we get there?
there are a lot of content creators, for example, online. There are a lot of young entrepreneurs who have used social media in really productive ways, ways that may even be making them money by offering a product on a service like Etsy or engaging in creating book reviews, whether it's on TikTok or Reels, or even building up, you know, various other social media followings based on interactions that they've had with regards to, for example, how they play a particular sport. It would seem to me that there would be an interesting case to be brought on behalf of one of those content creators who currently is allowed to be on social media because they're over the age of 13, but under many of these laws would no longer be able to have that kind of expressive value, given that many of these laws would create restrictions that would prevent people under the age of 16 or under the age of 18 from engaging in expressive activity online. At the end of the day, what I'm arguing in this paper is not about whether or not you should let your 16-year-old online. That's going to be an individual parental choice. It's about the interactions that the state may have and about not always presuming why young people are online. We oftentimes presume that it's only a frivolous activity, or we focus only on the harmful aspects of this. We don't focus on all the benefits or all the expressive activity that may be going on online. And this is what makes the internet and these laws distinct from some of the topics that often get brought up around, for example, well, we have restrictions on what age a young person can operate a vehicle. We don't let their parents just decide that. We have restrictions around what age a person can drink or can engage with other substances or activities. The internet is an expressive activity. We've seen young people engage in incredibly productive ways using their voices online, whether it's for developing social movements or engaging in entrepreneurship. And we have to also consider the impact that the government would have on those expressive activities.
Jennifer Huddleston is author of the new Cato paper, Courts Should Affirm First Amendment Rights of Youths in the Digital Age, available today. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please. Thank you for listening.